For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
I would say the competition that we've had up to this point during training camp, you can feel that. That's real. Going against each other, and our players, offensive players, going against defensive players. That competition is real, and the guys did a really good job of competing and really sharpening each other during that time. And we're excited about this competition coming up.
Matt Eberflus, excited. He should be. Everyone's expecting his team's going to be pretty good. Let's talk to one of the people on the outstanding Bears reporting beat. He is Herb Howard of the Bigs Media, and you can find him on Twitter at HerbHoward411 with us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today and twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. What's up, Herb?
What's happening, fellas? How y'all doing?
We're doing really well. For you, what's this journey been like, and what's it like to now be at the point where the real games start and now you can really get a sense of what it is the Bears put in motion?
Yeah, it almost kind of feels like a total reset for this entire team, really. Like, I asked Flustat the other day, just does it kind of feel like a fresh start? I know this is his third year on the job, but he comes in, they tear the roster down, they finally got the roster completely turned over. They have the quarterback that this regime has chosen. And so it kind of feels like this kind of fresh thing, even though they're kind of in their third year of it. And so it's really, really exciting, man. I mean, obviously you never know until the you know, ball is actually kicked off and you see what you got on the field. But I think that, you know, good seasons don't just really happen by chance. It happens when you have a lot of good players committed to the same thing. And the Bears finally have a roster that really has a lot of good players at a lot of key positions. And so you expect them to be a really competitive team this year. It's exciting that it's finally football. It's been a lot going on for, it seemed like 2 years, the Bears have just been the center of the NFL news world, having the number one pick 2 years in a row. And now finally, you know, you start to get to the culmination of it, and the Titans will be here on Sunday.
How do you plan to observe Caleb Williams? Because it's not easy to take everything in on every play. And it's obviously there's multiple layers and an ability to watch tape. But just from a watching the game's perspective, where's your eye going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be mostly about how Coach Shane Waldron calls the game for him, right? I think Caleb Williams is capable of doing all the different things you want your quarterback to do. But for me, I'm most interested stylistically in terms of a game plan, how they go about utilizing him, how they go about attacking the opposing defense, at least early on. I think it would be prudent of them to kind of lean on the defense, lean on their kicking game, lean on special teams, and kind of let this offense kind of settle in. I know they got a lot of talent, but it's still a new offense with the new coordinator and a lot of new players in key positions. And I think it's going to take just a little bit of time for them to kind of get all on the same page and get in that rhythm and in that flow. And so I think early on, you want to establish the run. You want to get some play action, some misdirection things, get him out on the edge, do things that you know he's comfortable with. And as he goes about showing you how comfortable he is with those other things, then you can add more to his plate. I don't want to see them kind of put it all on his shoulders too early. I don't think they will do that. But I'll be more interested in seeing, you know, how Coach Waldron goes about calling the game than specifically how Caleb Williams actually executes. I think he'll execute what's called pretty well.
It's strange because we're talking about a Bears offense where there's now a lot of mouths to feed. That mm-hmm. didn't used to be the case. How have you heard Caleb discuss the idea of he's got a lot of guys now that'll want the opportunity to make plays for him? How does he dole that out?
Yeah, I think he just, you know, stays within himself, trusts his progressions, understand what the play call is, understand what the defense is trying to do to you. He's shown a good ability to be able to recognize not only pre-snap, but then post-snap, what the defense has done to him, and then find that answer. And I think if he allows that process to kind of lead his decision-making, it'll be just fine. And some days that may mean DJ Moore gets 15 targets, and sometimes that may mean he gets 3 or 4. It is what it is, but I think they got a locker room full of guys that are unselfish, that are willing to do whatever is called upon for the team to win. And the good thing is, as you look at it right now, there are no bad options right there. So if you look and you say, well, I don't like what I got with DJ right here. I don't like what I got with Keenan right here, but I do like what I got with Cole down the middle, right? Or I like what's going on with Rome, you know, on their third corner, whatever it may be. And so I think that the fact that he has so many options is a really, really good thing. He's also going to be able to dump the ball down to DeAndre Swift, who's really shown himself to be more dynamic than I actually knew he was. Kind of watching how he runs with the football, he's really, really explosive. That's going to be a nice check down option for him when Caleb isn't able to find something down the field. So I think he just kind of lets the progressions and lets the defense kind of dictate where the ball goes, and don't worry about, well, how many targets does Keenan have? How many targets does Rome have?
When did that light click on with you with Rome, where you were like, oh, I'm seeing something that I didn't necessarily see and watching him at Washington or watching all the scouting stuff?
Well, Rome's just been impressive since day one. I mean, you can tell it's not too much for him. They've been able to move him all around this offense, and he seems to be, you know, acclimating himself. And the mistakes that he made early, you didn't really see him repeating those mistakes. There was a couple of times in the game where I feel like he did a couple of just kind of rookie things, just trying to make sure that I do exactly what I'm supposed to do, exactly as this play is designed. And one of those times was when, you know, him and Caleb couldn't link up for a touchdown. They should have, but Rome was just following his rules for a scramble drill and coming straight down that line, as opposed to running to where that open grass was, which is where Caleb was like, hey, I'm gonna throw the ball to open grass. And I think the more they get on the same page, they'll have that chemistry. And when those opportunities present themselves, they'll hit it, because it happened in the game once, but it also happened in practice against a blown coverage that a couple of the DBs had, where Rome continued on his route when he really should have just took the open grass. So it's those types of things where he's really focused on making sure he's doing the right thing. But his skill set is very, very obvious. You hear, you know, Jalen Johnson and Tyreek Stevenson, all those corners that they got, talk about his ability to come in and be a solid addition, but also his demeanor. I remember asking him about, you know, the fact that he's a number nine pick. Usually you number nine pick, you're not coming in to be anybody's number three wide receiver. And he's like, yeah, I ain't coming in to be nobody's number three wide receiver either. He's like, all due respect to DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, he's got a ton of respect for those guys, and he said he's learned a lot from them. But his mentality is, hey, I can be the best receiver on this team, right? That's what you expect when you take a receiver number nine. Those other two guys that went in the top nine, their teams are counting on them to be the number one receiver. So you think that Rome has that type of ability too. He just happens to be walking into a situation where you got two guys in front of him that both may be on Hall of Fame trajectories.
I can't say I'm surprised to see that Mercedes Lewis garnered enough votes to reach that captaincy threshold. As the 40-year-old leader of the room, that should be what you're there for. But help me understand how Lewis is going to be used now with the pieces that they have, with Everett here, with Cole Kmet taking a step into what we hope he'll surpass, even being a top 10 NFL tight end. I'm a little concerned that when Lewis is on the field, it tells you it's a run play, because he's essentially not like quite like Brandon Manumaleuna, but he's almost a glorified tackle at this point at the tight end position. Is his on-field value still there?
I think so, Dan, but I agree with you. I do think he's a bit of a glorified tackle. I think he's a glorified coach too, right? I think that he's able to, you know, not only help guys out on the field, but help guys out off the field. And I think it's a luxury position that the Bears are in right now. I think maybe at a different point in their rebuild, a different point, maybe you don't have a roster spot solely for a guy who's going to be of great assistance to Cole Kmet or Jordan Everett or all those guys. Maybe you don't have a roster spot for a guy like that. But now with this team having been in the position that it's in terms of offensive skill guys, then maybe you have a roster spot for a guy like him. And yeah, when he comes on the field, it's probably going to be overwhelming a run play most of the time. But you can also kind of use those to set up some tendency breakers, right? You get down that red zone. He's been down there. He's caught a touchdown before, right? So you can use some of those things because it's going to be such a heavy tendency when he comes in to run. Now you kind of make it look the same, get a little boot. You know how Caleb is out on the edge. So I think we can take advantage of some of those things. But, yeah, it will be a bit of an indicator about what they want to do when he comes in. But I think his value, not only on the field but off the field, is something that the Bears appreciate and a luxury that they've earned at this point in the process.
I texted Herb last night when I was watching all of the press conference stuff about his question to Jalen Johnson on, you know, having to deal with not getting a lot of balls thrown his way during a game. The answer we played in, and we talked about how, you know, he's someone who fits the cover two, but because of how it's morphed and they ask these guys to do more than just drop to a landmark, he's one of the best in the game. Do you get the sense from him that he understands that, even if he isn't getting the love from the outside?
Yeah, he definitely understands that. Jalen Johnson sincerely believes that he's as good or better than any corner in the league. And I think he's put that on tape, just watching how he's been able to cover guys. And he goes against, you know, a lot of elite receivers, and he's always, always up for the task. And I think that, you know, last year he finally got a chance to convert on some of those takeaway opportunities, and that certainly was a factor in his contract. But just in terms of his ability to cover guys, he's been doing that since he's gotten here, and he's only gotten better and better at it. He's a really, really smart football player. He understands what the offense is trying to do to him. He's able to kind of use that against them to kind of manipulate them into doing things that he wants them to do, and then take advantage of those things as well. So he absolutely knows how good he is. And like you said, his answer to that question was just so good. He's like, I just want to dominate. If they want to throw the ball my way, that's going to be an L for them. And I think he's right. And so I think, you know, Tyree Stevenson and the rest of those guys have to be up for the challenge of seeing a lot more targets come their way, because more often than not, the quarterback is going to shy away from throwing the ball at number one.
Herb, one thing I was not able to ask Matt Eberflus that I wanted was his ongoing desire to take the ball, to not defer after winning the coin toss. And from everything I understand, from every breakdown that I've received, it just makes you slightly less likely to win. Even if you're excited about your offense, and even if you want to send a message of confidence and all that, it's still just smarter to defer. Do you know if he's going to continue this odd habit of choosing the ball?
I don't know. I will ask him that, because I agree with you, Danny. Y'all did such a phenomenal job on that piece. I really, really enjoyed that interview y'all did with him. But I do think that there's an advantage to deferring, right? It gives you at least the opportunity to get the ball two times in a row without the offense, without the other team getting the ball, right? If you can close out the half and then get it back, it gives you that opportunity to maybe either you're down two possessions and now you can make that up without them getting the ball, or maybe you're up a possession. You get a chance to really kind of get a two or three score lead without them getting the ball back. And so I think it's a really, really risky thing when you choose to take the ball early. And I get some of those things, and we're trying to set the tone and all that, but listen, that's all cool for about 5 minutes, and then the game is starting. Nobody really cares about this idea of we set the tone. Now, if you want to set the tone in the running game and smash mouth people and just say we're going to push y'all around all day, that's cool, but you can do that if you get the ball second too, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that this Bears defense, again, I think that's the strength of this team. I think he should be leaning towards that. If you want to set a tone, go out there and get a three and out. Give Caleb the ball back on the, you know, minus 40, minus 35. Like, do something like that, and then you can set the tone for real. And I think you get a home game. You get there, you go a three and out, and then Caleb comes on the field. Soldier Field is going to be rocking. And then you go down there and get some points. Now you really set the tone, and you put yourself at a great advantage. And so, for me, anytime you win the coin toss, it's almost a no-brainer to say, listen, we'll defer. Now, there are some different things that happen, maybe with the wind and things like that, that you may feel like that's more important on a given Sunday at Soldier Field. But more often than not, defer, give yourself an opportunity to get it twice.
All right, Herb, give us the cold water. Well, what are the things that you're concerned about? Like, when you go home after talking to people in these press conferences, and you're like, I don't know if that was a satisfactory answer to some of these questions. What's on your notepad as a concern?
I'll tell you what, Darnell Wright don't want nothing to do with talking to us, man. His interview yesterday was, I was like, man, if his agent had to be watching that, like, this is terrible. I cannot get you any money off the field with you acting like this. But I'm not worried about him as a football player. So that's not the cold water. But there has to be some questions about the offensive line. I think they can be a good offensive line if they're healthy, right? If they're healthy and you're able to get consistency specifically at right guard, left guard, and then that center position kind of settles itself down. It was supposed to be a competition. Coleman Shelton kind of got it by default, right? I think that Ryan Poles wanted Ryan Bates to be the center. And then Nate Davis goes out, so Ryan Bates has to play a lot of right guard. And then Bates himself goes out. And so Coleman just kind of kept chugging along, like, oh, I guess I'm the guy. And so now he is the guy. But you got to see what that looks like. You got to see what how all those guys are able to work together to play five as one. I think that's going to be at least a question or cause for concern until they're able to prove that it's not. And so that you got to start there. And then I will look at the trenches on the other side of the ball as well. I really like the prospect that Javon Dexter is. But it's not a certainty, right? I've seen him when he plays with good pad level and he has a good get off. He's almost unstoppable in terms of being blocked one-on-one. He doesn't do it every snap, though. He has to play that way consistently so he can be a consistent disrupting force in the middle of that defense. He cannot just be a guy. And they've also got to get production on the other end opposite Montez Sweat, like everybody's been talking about. So those are a couple of things. If I had to point to a couple of things, say, well, what's this look like, right? And then you start to talk about coaching and how they're going to call the plays, how they're going to go about some of these things with Caleb Williams. And then the unknown is he's a rookie, right? We all think he is the goods. I think he is the goods, but he's still a rookie. And we got to figure out exactly what that's going to look like. But if I had to start with the biggest concerns that there may be a little bit of a damper, it's can that offensive line come together? Can you get positive answers for your questions on that defensive line?
And as it stands, is Mark Grody safe?
So look, I didn't know that you all had been running, that you all had like ran that voice note that I sent you, and somebody came up and told me the Mark Grody story. I was like, oh, you were listening that day live? And he's like, no, I heard the story that you sent into them. I was like, I didn't know that they had ran that. But it was so funny, man. I could not tell y'all exactly how this lay. I wanted to be able to paint that picture better than I was able to paint it for y'all in the moment, because it was just so funny. I was listening to y'all, and then when Dan goes, wait, are you being chased by a lawnmower? I'm like, yes, he is. That's exactly what's happening. It was so funny. It was so funny.
All right, well, we trust that we have people looking out for our guy. So, you know, just throw him a heads up every once in a while if some other piece of yard machinery is chasing him down.
I desperately need for that person to have been in on the bit. I, like, in my mind, that inside of their headphones, because of the noise, they are listening to this show.
I'll and like, get you, know, you, Mark Grody.
And you know what? Why don't I add a little juice to Mark Grody's Bears report and surround him with the lawnmower? I need that to be true.
It was absolutely hilarious. I heard y'all talking about whether Kevin Fishbane is or is not athletic. Grody, not so much. He's trying to run away from that thing. And the thing is just kind of like doing donuts around him. It was absolutely hilarious with the yard machine. It was so funny, man. It was so funny.
Herb, thank you. Much appreciated, man.
All right, but I'll talk to y'all later.
That's Herb Howard.
Yard machine.
From the Biggs Media.
You're right.
Speaking of which, oh, damn it. I should have told Herb this.
What?
So Friday, is that Friday? Friday, I had the day off. I'm getting in a great workout at the gym. I rode my bike to the gym. And then someone's honking at me. Like, I'm just riding my bike over like 55th and Ellis. Someone's honking at me. I'm like, wow, I'm sharing the road. I'm being a good biker. I'm not breaking any laws. I look up, it's Eugene McIntosh from the Bigs.
Oh, wow.
He's like, hey, what you doing out here? I was like, I'm just trying to ride my bike. He's like, oh, all right. He was chasing me with a car machine.
Car machine. There is some pretty cool stuff from Matt Eberflus that we wanted to get to regarding, how would you describe it? Shadow coaching or coaching when players don't know they're being coached?
It's game planning. In a way that I hadn't, at least I've heard of coaches doing this, but I've never heard of a coach talking about doing it. And it shows you again, like, why we have certain people on. It's a great question from Jason Leisure, gets a great answer from Matt Eberflus. And this is a really interesting way to go about prepping a team, maybe without them knowing it, for an opponent. We'll explain and let him explain next here on The Score.
Bird from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes.
Jason Goff is here in studio with us.
We go from Zion Williamson, John Morant, to spinning on finally tailored suits.
Hey. Like getting yelled at for dancing.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
The Bernstein and Holmes show at its finest.
Yeah, it's what we do, Jay. It's what we're doing over here.
I don't know. What's up yours?
It is what we do over here. And I think before we go into the Matt Eberflus stuff, I do think as a show, we should take a very, very small victory lap. You know how, like, on this show, we joke about how Wojo is the bane of our existence? We went and got Wojo. That's right. We've been waiting forever. They've been a target of this show from a rating standpoint, and we got them.
All right, who's next on the list then?
I don't know. I wasn't sure we'd ever catch Wojo. But we
What do we do now?
Yeah.
Ran him down like a like a lawnmower at Hellas Hall.
Damn right we did.
It looks like, okay, I got it right in front of us here. So next on the list is WLS FM and The Drive. That's who we got to run down now.
All right, so I think setting our sights on The Drive is a good idea.
They're not that far ahead.
I know, but neither was Wojo. Track their asses down. That's right. It's like Ponch and John. Yes, that was a Chips reference. Do you know Eric Estrada is like a real cop now?
What? Oh, really?
Not like Steven Seagal.
No,
oh, yeah, that was a thing. And Shaq.
I think Eric Estrada is like a real cop in Indiana.
The Tom Segura bit about Steven Seagal is hysterical.
You see a helicopter? I learned how to fly a helicopter. I learned that.
And like they had this, some police force hired Steven Seagal to train them in hand to hand combat. And apparently, he's like,
the guy goes like this, you go like this, just kind of give him one of these.
And that's all it was. Like, yeah, I did that. And yeah, I take a knife out and kind of go, wah. And they're like, what?
Eric Estrada was a reserve police officer in Muncie, Indiana.
And David Haw.
David Haw, right?
Yeah.
He's arresting David Haw and the Fighting Haws.
Those football players get out of hand. You
they
know?
Do. They just get... So I just want to say, take that, Wojo.
But reserve police, what does it mean to be a reserve police officer?
I think it's, you know, it's probably more honorary.
I think so, too.
But I think he got a badge because, you know, him and George Lopez have, like, real bad blood. And I guess he
didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Like, real bad.
Is George Lopez stealing jokes from him, too?
I don't know. But he said something sideways. And Eric Estrada was like, I will put this badge down and beat your ass.
I wonder if the reserve cop is like the reserve goalie. You know how the NHL
the
E-bug? Yeah,
like just like that. Emergency cop.
Hold on, wait, you got to get dressed now.
I think I'm confused. George Lopez was not the infamous joke stealer. Carlos Mencia was the infamous joke stealer, right? I'm sure George Lopez stole some jokes. I don't want to paint with too broad a brush here, but yeah. So it's like, hey, Eric, we need you. All the other cops are gone. You must snap into action. You must get your real badge and come be a police person.
I'm certain that I saw a video of Eric Estrada being like, yeah, I told George to take this badge off and whoop your ass for you. We can settle our beef.
What's the history?
I don't know. I would love to know. I was like, oh, wow. I didn't know that that was a thing. I think maybe like George had been trying to act too new, like he's too new and too cool. And Eric Estrada was like, you know, there's a lot of people in the brown community, especially in comedy, that's like George Lopez be acting too new.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
and I didn't know Eric Estrada was a gatekeeper of such things.
I didn't know either, but apparently he is. Maybe. He was like, I'll whoop your ass.
Okay,
Ray, you're supposed to be our correspondent.
Hey, man, you just clued me in on this one. Now I have to do some deep dive research.
You
got to
make a phone call.
I got to make a few phone calls, clearly.
Your comedy peeps.
That's right. I got to meet the mind of Mencia one time.
Oh, that's right. When you were working for Madcow.
Yeah, I met him and Dustin Diamond on the same day. Screech.
Yeah,
both
R.I.P.
of them together. It was quite the morning.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Dustin Diamond, a.k.a. Screech, showed me a viral video at that time.
He wish he'd never shown me. He was showing you himself.
He was showing you?
Yep.
His sex tape?
Hey, what do you think of this?
Not his directly. It was one that was viral at the time.
What do you think of this?
That's all I could say.
I know what Ray's talking about.
That's all I could say on these family-friendly airwaves.
Ugh.
Well. It's funny how we got there. All right, now we get back to Bears.
Yeah, Matt Eberflus.
Tomorrow, though,
what?
We will get into. I'm going to find that video because I know I didn't imagine it. I'm going to find that video. We're going to play it because Eric Estrada's got beef. And I'm rolling with Eric Estrada on this. I don't even know George Lopez, but I'm rolling with Eric Estrada. Anyway.
Who is the guy that played John on Chips? What was that his name?
John Whiterson. I don't think his name was White Whiterson.
I think it was.
But didn't he have two partners?
Well, no, they had the lieutenant.
I think the weary lieutenant. But I think
Larry Wilcox.
Larry Wilcox, that's right.
But didn't John leave at some point, and then there was another guy? And they were like, we'll just keep going because Eric Estrada is punch and punch rolls.
Larry Wilcox is still alive.
So is Eric Estrada. And he'll whip your ass.
Apparently so. He races cars, and he's also a private pilot.
Okay.
Okay.
You got to be careful when you're around that age and you're racing cars, because stuff can happen to you.
Speaking of which, did you see John Force? Apparently, Courtney Force has put out a statement that he's making progress, that he's been transferred. He's now doing home rehab. He's out of the full-time rehab facility.
Oh.
But he's still having some cognitive issues, apparently. My guess is our guy, John, the racing days are probably over.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. He should just come in here and talk about racing with us.
Or give us Bears predictions.
He might have thoughts.
I've never seen a guy eat so much cake.
He can review movies for us and rank them with pieces of cake.
I lost every game as a quarterback in 3 years. Nobody will ever break that record.
Glad to hear he's doing better.
Me too.
I do think he should do movie reviews for us.
Anyway, Matt Eberflus was asked by our buddy Jason Leisure about game planning. And I think I understood kind of where Jason was going. I think he wanted to know, when did the Bears flip the switch? When did it go from training camp practices to specific practices about the Titans? Like, when did the game plan go in? And Matt Eberflus said something really interesting about how he preps the team and uses the preseason and the practices to do that with opponents.
We do it with, I don't even know, and the players knowing it at times, because we have a bunch of walkthroughs and we'll feature an opponent during that walkthrough. We'll set up our schemes against those guys, you know, their fronts and their coverages, their particular favorite runs that they like to run, their play actions and screens and all the things that they do. You know, so you always want to work on the first opponents, typically. You know, we're playing the AFC, you know, early this year, and we don't typically play those every single year. So, and that being our first three games, we've certainly put some work on those guys. You know, and then you work on an opponent that might have a unique type of scheme during the course of training camp. And I think it's always great looking ahead like that. And again, a lot of times the players don't know we're doing it. You know, we just got to work our structures and our schemes against those guys. But, and then if you're, then you, of course, work in your division too. You're working in your division, same thing. And we get that during training camp. We work on that exclusively against our division too.
Do your staff dedicate specific days or weeks going back maybe to the spring? Say, okay, this week we're working on San Francisco. This week we're working on Green Bay.
Yeah, we do. We spend a few days on each opponent, making sure we're getting it down. You know, the guys, it'll take the guys more time than that to be able to break those guys down in terms of their, you know, specific area. You know, like Simo obviously does our run game, and, you know, Dave Berganzi and Travis, you know, look at our defensive run, you know, run defense. So, yeah, we go way back into the spring, and we set that up.
I think that's interesting that you kind of drop in stuff.
Yeah, they don't have to know exactly why.
Like,
just say, hey, this is what this defense is right now. These are these looks. This is where they're coming. This is they're going to make a late shift right before the snap. This would, and oh, there's a new wrinkle. You know what it reminds me of? Honestly, wax on, wax off.
Oh yeah, so you don't know that you're doing it,
right? You know, paint the fence, wax on, wax off, sand the floor. And it's like, well, why am I doing all this? Why am I doing this? Okay. So you don't realize that you've been working on these skills. And then the player's
the
like,
whole time.
Like, oh, you were teaching me and I didn't even know. I thought it was just busy work.
This season of Cobra Kai, we found out some things about Mr. Miyagi that we didn't want to know.
Is he black?
No, that's not what they found out.
Oh,
at least.
Oh, so he was one of your cousins?
He was a black.
Hey, black. So would you like more about the Eric Estrada, George Lopez beef?
Yes.
Of course. This from Arizona Central, AZ Central, an interview that they did with Eric Estrada. Question: what's your take on all the George Lopez material about you? It's very mean-spirited. People are going to do what people are going to do. He's got karma to pay. You don't take a kidney from your wife.
What?
And do that kind of stuff. God doesn't appreciate that.
Wait, what?
Because George Lopez got a kidney from his ex-wife and then divorced her. And I feel like, hey, I'm gonna need that kidney back, man.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about, Lawrence.
Taking that kidney back in the divorce.
So hold on. There's more. He says you didn't shake his hand in the 70s. But I've heard people say how nice you are to fans. Answer, because I like people. I genuinely like my fellow man. I've had the character to protect and serve all my life. At age 5, I started selling snow cones on the street. So I've always been exposed to people. I treat them the way I want to be treated, with kindness. And basically he said, don't be like George Lopez.
Wow.
This is great. Oh, wait, here's the quote. Oh, dang it. Page just refreshed on me. But at the end of it, it says, don't be a George Lopez.
All right.
This is like, better than Biggie and Tupac.
This is like the comedy Jose Canseco and A-Rod, the comedy version. Jose Canseco always has it out for that man.
That's true. That's true.
Like, that's one of my favorite ongoing bits on Twitter is Jose Canseco will tweet like, happy weekend to everybody except that one guy. And he's always referring to A-Rod.
You Merry follow Christmas Jose Canseco
Oh, dude, he follows
Twitter?
Me. It's great.
So wait. Jose,
he's so funny to follow.
Jose Canseco follows you, but Western Illinois University football Leathernecks doesn't follow you.
Does the football team follow me? That's a good question.
That is BS.
They should. I covered him for a year, two years.
I got to meet Jose Canseco, I think, probably the same summer that the incident happened with Dustin
Screech.
Diamond. Yeah. Jose Canseco was selling like a line of jeans or something, like blue jeans or something.
Okay.
What? Western Illinois football does not follow me.
It's BS, man.
It's fine. They're not worthy anyway.
Wow.
Bunch of losers.
Wow.
Talk about beef.
Yeah, I know. Old Eric Estrada over here.
25-game losing streak. They can come. They can come talk.
Are
to
they
me
for real on a 25-game losing streak?
25 games.
But does the Australian Koala Federation follow you?
No, they should though.
That's what I'd really like to know. If they want to, they have to keep tabs on their mortal enemy.
And yeah, you're wearing your koala shirt today. I'm wearing the koala bear shirt today.
I didn't notice until I noticed because you're always wearing something bears, and then I realized that's the bear down koala shirt.
So shout out to the Twitch mom.
But when we come back, Bill Belichick had a fascinating scouting report. It's one that you don't expect. It's next on The Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes.
I'm still stuck, Dan, in trying to figure out exactly what it is we do here. Right? Well, no, that part, I've figured it out. There's fart jokes and mascots. That's all is going on here.
Bernstein and Holmes.
Fart jokes and mascots.
Middays 10 to 2. On 670 The Score.
That way you make friends of those two guys at least. The kick is blocked, and what do you think about? Unbelievable. Unbelievable is right. Look at Chris Bonial. He knows that he missed. You saw him just saying thank you. Here's the block again. I didn't see where they came from.
But just to get a big push right up the middle and then right from the outside. Yep. That's where it was blocked.
Brian Robinson, I think, got the hand on it. This is Pat Summerall for John Madden saying so long from Lambeau Field, where once again the final score is the Bears 14, the Packers 13.
Wasn't much of a Bears era, but that was a heck of a win.
It's a couple days after Walter had passed away.
And of course, you can imagine the headlines and all of
Hand of God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hand of Eric Estrada.
You showed me that during the break. That's real stuff.
He's not playing.
That is real stuff. That's like, we gotta play that at some point.
Yeah,
because that's really good. I had no idea. I didn't know he had that in him.
Now Ray's up to speed. He's ready to go.
That's right, man. Talking about taking him out back behind the truck.
There may be things we have to bleep in there. Some
There's definitely some stuff we have to bleep.
So Bill Belichick was recently talking about his experience with. Now, is this his experience in the 1975 College All-Star Game?
No, this was. They had him breaking down film of the College All-Star Game. So okay. I don't know what his involvement would have been, but so he's breaking down film from the 1975 College All-Star Game of Walter Payton.
This is Walter Payton in the College All-Star Game. Number 34, and this was a game where all the college all-stars went and trained for a month to play against the previous year's Super Bowl champion, in this case, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that Steel Curtain defense.
Coach, so this would be the equivalent of Caleb Williams, who's the Chicago Bears' first-round draft pick, playing against the Kansas City Chiefs to start a season off.
That's exactly what it was. Exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And here you can see Peyton's quickness, his balance, and his power. This is an interesting play right here where Walter Payton takes a little swing pass. And who do you think he's matched up against there?
That's got to be somebody with no teeth, Coach.
That would be him. That would be him.
Jack Lambert.
And there's Jack. And Payton kind of makes him look bad. Competed very hard for every yard, fought for every yard. You just see how competitive those guys are. But here it is again. This is Payton against Lambert. And look at that contact balance here. Not only does Walter Payton lower his shoulder and break two tackles, but he's still on his feet, and they still can't get him down. They push him out of bounds. They still can't get him on the ground. So it's easy to see from a few plays like this the type of talent that Walter Payton had and what he became in the National Football League.
If you don't know who Jack Lambert was,
look him up.
Look him up. That was on the list of fearsome linebackers. There was Butkus and maybe Nitschke, and then Lambert.
If you're Bill Belichick or Nick Saban, you have found your lane, sir. You don't have to go back to coaching ever. This the Bill Belichick that as a viewer we're getting now is hilarious and detailed and so professorial. And the version of Nick Saban.
That was a very Duke word you used.
Yes. The version of Nick Saban that we're getting, he didn't even care. He's just like, I'll just say whatever. But when they give him the clicker, they had him do some breakdowns of Texas A&M's offense on College Game Day on Saturday, and it's genius. Even Matt Patricia, when doing some of these segments with Bill Belichick, has been likable. And he's awful.
Meanwhile, Jack Lambert is still alive, by the way. He's just incredibly private at this point. He's only 72.
Really?
Yeah, he's only 72. But when...
Wow.
Nine-time Pro Bowler.
Nine?
He was NFL Defensive Player of the Year, NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, six-time first-team All-Pro, two-time second-team All-Pro, 70s All-Decade Team, 80s All-Decade Team.
That works.
Yes. And obviously in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
And they'll take you out back. You got something to say?
I don't think Eric Estrada wants any piece of Jack Lambert behind the truck.
No.
Yeah, I think you'd have to keep his gun and his badge at that point if you're going to do that.
Yep.
I'd say no, no, no.
We will talk with the Score Afternoon Show next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.